Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us at kdrt.org online. I'm Bill Buchanan. Thanks for tuning in. Well, some years ago, John Lee, a public policy analyst who's lived in Davis for a long time, told me that many people in Davis view our community as essentially consisting of two locations, their neighborhood and downtown. Well, the passing years and the way Davis has grown dilute that insight, which I don't think was ever meant to be literal. I mean, what about the UC Davis campus? But I mention it today because the observation illustrates how important downtown is to Davis as an economic center, as a big part of the town's identity, as one of the few places where people from all parts of Davis physically see each other. We don't do that online. There's been a lot going on downtown, some admired, some not, and we'll talk about that today with Brett Lee. He's been the executive director of the Downtown Davis Business Association since June 2024, and some years before that, he was Davis's mayor. He was a member of the Davis City Council for 8 years, and he's the third generation of his family to live in Davis. So, Brett, thanks for talking with us again today on Davisville.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, I want to mention your professional background because it has a lot of variety, and I think it shows some of the things you bring to your work. I mean, you've got a master's in industrial engineering from the London School of Economics. You worked for FedEx as a project engineer. You worked for Farm Fresh to You and Cape Organic, a local food growers. And, of course, now you're the chief administrator of the Downtown Group, which promotes and looks out for downtown and downtown's interests. What do you want to achieve for downtown and Davis in this job?
Before I get there, I just wanted to make a slight correction.
Oh, sure.
I have a bachelor's in industrial engineering and operations research from UC Berkeley. In England, at the London School of Economics, it was industrial relations.
Industrial relations. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were asking about what I want to achieve for downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say big picture, I want downtown to continue to be a safe, attractive, fun place where people want to spend time, go to the local businesses and shops, and have a good time. Importantly, we have a lot of independent businesses, and I think that adds to the attractive value of our downtown, adds to the charm. And so part of my goal is to make sure those businesses are prosperous. So, we need to increase their sales. We need to make sure they have a steady supply of customers, things like that. So it's challenging, given kind of we're in this internet age. All of us, or most of us, purchase things online. But I think there really is a need and a space for a vibrant, interesting downtown.
You talked about small shops. Downtown does have a lot of variety. I mean, it certainly has some chain retailers, but it has a lot of small stores, small shops. I'm thinking Newsbeat, for example.
Yes.
With the lots. It has faraway landlords, but also owners who live in Davis. How does a group that varied decide what downtown needs? Beyond just the general thing like more traffic, I would imagine you want more foot traffic. But how do you decide priorities as a group that way?
So we have a board of directors, and we have 11 directors on that board, and they come from a variety of businesses. Basically, the downtown business area encompasses what we sort of traditionally think of the downtown area. It pretty much goes up into 5th Street, although there's a little sliver of it that encompasses Ken's Bike and Ski, Upper Crust Bakery, that sort of mall over there
by the co-op.
But the businesses in this geographic area are eligible to be on the board of directors. And so we have a variety of folks there. And so they bring their insights. We also have business members who kind of provide ideas. And there's some kind of, we sort of have to think about what makes sense and what's possible. So the DDBA, the budget is about $250,000 a year, includes my salary, the pay of, we have other contractors who help kind of carry on the mission, includes the money we spend for advertising, whether that be in the enterprise or online, things like that. So we have a relatively small budget in terms of the lift that we need to make. And so we have to kind of prioritize, and we have to think about how we can take, one of our dollars and leverage it with potentially one of our partners, which could be the City of Davis or UC Davis, to, achieve kind of what we want to. And I would say there's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. There might be some less good ideas and, better ideas. For instance, we had a series of events. The previous director, conveniently or inconveniently, his first name was also Brett Maresca. When he was in charge of the Davis Downtown Business Association. It was during the heart of COVID, and it was just really a matter of survival. One of the events they did was the Davis Sphere, which was a series of music events at Central Park. You know, it was very successful by some measures, but at that time, the Davis Downtown Business Association received additional money, federal money and state money. And so they had a bigger budget to play with. And so the idea of music events at Central Park kind of made sense. Whereas now with our reduced budget, spending, let's just for the sake of argument, say $50,000 to host a bunch of music events may not have that return in terms of, okay, people go to the event, but are they frequenting the shops and the restaurants afterwards?
Yeah. Well, I guess that was part of my point is individually, the businesses have very different interests, very different audiences. You know, some are aimed at the college student that, you know, want a boba tea.
Right.
And some are looking for people who want to eat out. Some people are looking to buy clothes. And that's right. If you have a music event, that's good for a certain segment of it. But other parts might say, no, not for me.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, how you, I guess maybe is the way you address that mix of interests is just to have a mix of events? Is it just that simple?
I think we're focused more on fewer events and wanting them to be excellent. And then where we can, so for instance, music, Davis Music Collective puts on Davis Music Fest. And rather than us try to duplicate that, maybe we become a sponsor and we assist with that event and we, you know, do some tie-in to help it connect more to some of the local businesses. So that might be something where we don't need to actually put on the event, but we can be a part of the event and actually have it help some of our retailers. So around that, so for instance, the Halloween Treat Trail, we put that on. It's a successful event, and we're kind of going all in on that. This last iteration, we had a photo booth. Having been a parent and bringing my kid down to do that, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if I had pictures of me and my son and, you know, him in his costume, just, you know, each year, just showing, you know, how he sort of aged and the different costumes he chose. And so we set that up at East Street, and it was a free photo booth, and people came and they got their pictures with their kids, and we handed them a hard copy photo, just like in the old days, and people loved it. And so making these events that we already do just a little more special, there's an important event that we've been doing as an organization for a few years, which we think has a lot of upside potential, and that's Dive Into Downtown, which is a UC Davis event during their student orientation. There's a couple-day period where the freshmen, new freshmen on campus, call it 8,000 students, go through this orientation, and part of the orientation involves them coming to downtown. And there's also a day where they have about 3,000 transfer students, so juniors. They also go through an orientation, slightly different time frame, a few days earlier than the freshman orientation. But on these 2 days, we have a booth, we have incentives at local businesses, but I don't think we've really maximized the potential of that. It's a work in progress. But the idea there is here are all these students, especially the freshmen, who are going to be here for 4 years. And once we connect them to downtown and they see that it can be fun and interesting, and the belief is, my belief, strong belief is, they will spend time downtown and frequent the businesses, whether it's a boba tea or whether it's a, you know, a retailer selling, you know, needed items.
Okay. So, all right. So I'm getting a sense of some of the sort of tactics that you're using to bring people in to make it a recreational district. You know, downtown also has sort of American history, even. I mean, it's just downtown just has a presence in a lot of places. You know, that is the center. How important is downtown to Davis's culture these days? And here I want to kind of draw maybe on your long experience living in Davis. I mean, does downtown mean what it used to?
I think for the younger crowd, yes. I would say that for my age cohort, yeah, I'm 60.
Yeah.
Just say it. You know, a lot of the people kind of my age and older, what I hear from them is they tend not to go downtown. And one of the events that we want to do is called Rediscover Downtown, a summertime event, you know, when most of the UC Davis students aren't around, and just really try to reconnect our community with the downtown that they used to frequent. I see on social media, you know, concerns around safety and cleanliness. And when I first took the job, you know, I mentioned like two of my priorities are improving the sense of safety. And there's a real safety component there. It's not just perceived, you know, issues. There are real issues downtown, but also cleanliness. And recently the city announced that they will be doing quarterly power washing of the sidewalks. We have now a downtown-based parks employee, and we've been working with the city on how we restore a downtown-based police officer. So these are some tangible things to address some real issues. But I also think there's a misperception of what downtown is and what it isn't. I find that when I, you know, connect with somebody my age or older who hasn't been downtown in a while, you know, I'll say, "Hey, let's meet," and they'll reference like, "Oh, how about we go here on one of the," you know, I'll just say, they want to meet at Pete's at the marketplace, and I say, "No, let's meet at Pete's downtown," and they're like, "Oh, okay," and they'll come downtown and they'll, you know, we'll hang out, wander around, I'll kind of show them some of the things we're working on, and they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, this is really nice. You know, I thought it would be hard to park. I thought it would be, you know, on social media, it sounds like there's all these, you know, problems with cleanliness and the unhoused and all these things." And that's part of the idea behind Rediscover Downtown is we kind of fall into a habit, and I'll be the first to admit, you know, I go to Costco to do a bunch of shopping, and I go to the various other things, and online shopping is so convenient. We've kind of fallen out of the habit of having downtown be part of our weekly lives. And part of Rediscover Downtown, that's one of the things that I think will really help with that. And if now's a good time, I'll mention another thing that we've been working on. It's called Real People, Real Downtown. And the question is, you know, many people listening to this are at home and they're probably next to their computers and they're thinking, "Oh, I need to order a book." And it's so easy and convenient to order on Amazon. So why would I go to the Avid Reader or Logos Books to go pick up a book? And I don't know, why would they? And the idea with Real People, Real Downtown, it's a monthly article in the Davis Enterprise where we focus on one business. There's some photos that are taken by Stuart Savage, former leader of the Davis Downtown Business Association and local photographer. And a story about, you know, who this business is. So if you discovered, oh, the Avid Reader, it's a nice family here in Davis. They have a kid in the Davis school system. They're real people. And as part of the interview, you learn about what they like about Davis, what brought them to Davis, you know, what are their some of their challenges and favorite stories of being in Davis. And so suddenly, when that person is going to meet me for coffee downtown at, you know, one of the many different coffee places, not just chain coffee places, but independent coffee places, they might think, "Oh, well, rather than go online at Amazon, if I'm meeting Brett at Mishka's, I'll just walk across the street and go to the Avid Reader and go pick up the book there." Yeah. And it's the idea is, there is a value to supporting our independent retailers and independent businesses.
So you want to make the people behind the businesses more visible to folks in town so that
right.
they identify.
Yeah.
Well, let me just do a quick station ID. We are talking with Brett Lee, who is the executive director of the Davis Downtown Business Association. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California. So a couple of things. You know, one of the newest and biggest changes downtown is the reopening of G Street lately, between 2nd and 3rd. And reopening is a car-free block where people can hang out together. The first phase of the makeover opened in late January. Now I'm sure you've heard the criticism, the new space doesn't look like much yet. It'll be brutal in the summer heat. It drives customers away from the block, at least those who want to drive there. Now, I know the intent is to make this space attractive and lively, you know, right, with events and places to sit and music. How will you know if the result that you achieve is a net benefit compared to the disruption that closing it has caused? In other words, how will you know if this pays off?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that definitely the construction has created disruption. And for people who were used to parking right there, the fact that there, for part of the street, there isn't parking available. Yes, there has been some change. I think the measure of success will be how well it is utilized, both as a public space, and several of the restaurants will be creating their own little private little seating areas like there was prior to the construction. I think what will be important is to ask the retailers themselves. They take very good records of their sales, and it'll be very interesting to see what 2025 is versus 2024 versus 2023. And my goal is that we increase the revenues for the businesses throughout the downtown. And I'm confident that on G Street, they will see an increase in revenue, even if they aren't directly kind of involved with some sort of food or beverage aspect. So for instance, there are retailers there. When you have 60 people sitting out there drinking beer or soda or having pizza or having noodles from Red 88, you can go and you can hand them a little card. You know, hey, come to my shop, get 10% off. Or, hey, Father's Day is coming up, or Mother's Day, we have these great specials. A lot of what businesses depend on is some level of foot traffic. And this is sort of like foot traffic. I mean, it is foot traffic. They happen to be seated. But when you're able to hand them a little promo card and then just kind of point, 50 yards away, I think there's a lot of potential. And so I'm very optimistic. And in terms of the actual physical space, what people see today in February of 2025 is sort of phase one. Over time, it will be upgraded. And yeah, nobody wants to sit in direct sunlight when it's 110 degrees. So there will be some, efforts to plant some trees and perhaps some shade structures, things like that. So I'm optimistic about the long range trajectory. But I fundamentally want to see that the business sales receipts go up compared to what it was prior to the implementation of this.
I do want to talk a little bit more about public safety downtown as well. I mean, you've already raised the issue. Heather Caswell owns a clothing store downtown, and she's a member of the association. And the Enterprise, in December, she wrote about a public safety crisis, as she said, caused by 10 unhoused, mentally ill, or drug-addicted repeat offenders, is making downtown Davis feel unsafe for shoppers and store employees, especially women. She followed up in January with an item in the Davisite blog, writing, "I've heard feedback from dozens of my customers, most older women. Nearly all told me they now feel unsafe in downtown Davis for the first time in their lives." Now, you've already talked about some of the things that are happening. And one of them, I think you said downtown-based, it's a beat cop, basically, right? This is someone who would be assigned to downtown.
Yes.
And I was reading about this in Lauren Keene's article in The Enterprise.
Yeah.
I gather this is going to come before the city council, in fact, maybe this next week.
It turns out they probably won't come before city council for another 2 weeks from
Until March, probably,
yep.
Then. Okay.
Yeah.
But
So there was a bicycle-based officer previously, Officer Neves, and he was sort of kind of a long line of downtown-based police officers. There's a couple things converging to help address this issue. Having a downtown-based police officer, and it's important from my perspective that the person be based upon either foot or bicycle, because we don't want them in a car. The idea is to connect to people, to walk around or bike around and just make that personal connection.
Yeah, get to know the area.
Get to know the shopkeepers, the patrons, the people, and some of the unhoused people who happen to be hanging out downtown. So there's that piece, which will make a big difference. We are also restarting what's called the Downtown Host Program. That was in, 2018. It was only had a brief life, but volunteers who would volunteer through the police department volunteer program, these weren't, they were just community volunteers. A lot of the volunteer programs for the city of Davis kind of start through the police department for historical perspectives. But anyway, so people will volunteer and they wear these yellow windbreakers, they walk around, they have radios. Their main job, they're downtown ambassadors. And when somebody says, "Oh, where can I park for 3 hours?" Or, "Oh, it's Sunday. Is the 2 hour limit enforced? Where do I go for pizza?" Or, "I can't tell which of the 11 boba tea places to go to. Do you have one you recommend?" They are meant to be the friendly face of downtown to help people. In addition, though, they've received some training in terms of helping be an extra set of eyes and ears for the police, so that if they see something that looks amiss, they will get on the radio and they will call that in. And so response times should be much quicker, especially for part of the week that you have a downtown-based police officer, but also these volunteer Davis ambassadors, the host program, being able to connect directly to address some things. The third piece is actually a legal issue. Prop 36, which did pass, allows for the people who have a pattern of sort of smaller crimes to have them stack up, and so that there will be some increased accountability.
Yeah, that was the law that basically, and the county already had I can't get the name right for it, but sort of a diversion program, I think. So the idea is that if someone is just acting up in a, I don't mean that in like a juvenile delinquent way, but I mean, you know, they're yelling at people, they're being quite dysfunctional in public, that they can be directed towards something that might help them, treatment, things like that.
Yes. The aspect I was thinking of was sort of this petty shoplifting, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of add together. And already, if you talk to Police Chief Henry, there have been a few cases already where people have been, under this updated law, have, put in jail. And whereas previously they wouldn't have been. And I'm not saying that, you know, putting everyone in jail, that's to me not the answer. My view is a lot of the people who are unhoused are actually not causing any problems downtown. I think it really should be based upon behavior. And whether you have a house or don't have a house, it's really about behavior. And so having the host program, having a downtown-based police officer, and having the tools that Prop 36 provide will help address the problem behaviors.
Yeah. And I imagine many people in Davis, maybe most, you know, wouldn't want homeless people, which can include the mentally ill and addicted, to be punished. But of course, they don't want to be yelled at or feel menaced, let alone threatened by aggressive behavior. And, some of that has occurred downtown. I mean, that was Heather's point, I guess, about 10 people. I don't know that it's literally 10 people. Maybe it is. But those are the folks, I think, who are probably causing an outsized problem because of their condition.
Yeah. And so, I mean, just 2 days ago, there was some person screaming at the top of their lungs, and I'm not an expert, but to me, it seemed like this person was having a mental health crisis. You know, being on the street, having a mental health crisis, I don't, as a person who, you know, I'm hopefully compassionate, I would want them to get treatment. You know, if it were a loved one, a family member, if they were exhibiting those symptoms, I would be taking them to the hospital. And so I'm hoping that with the changes in law and some of the resources that Governor Newsom has been talking about in terms of helping people with untreated mental illness and some addiction issues, hopefully they can get help and they will ultimately be happier and just healthier. But I do really want to emphasize that it's really about behavior. And my experience has been, a lot of the folks who are unhoused aren't disruptive, aren't creating problems. But I'm downtown 5 or 6 days a week, and so I see them and I get to know kind of who's who. And that's where I think the host program can help out the person who visits once every week or so, because they don't know the person sitting there, whether this person is potentially a problem or not a problem for their personal safety. Yeah. It's not unreasonable for somebody to look and kind of use their spidey sense and go, ooh, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable. Whereas if they see that the host people have just walked by, these volunteers who are kind of in the downtown area on a regular basis, go, oh, well, obviously then probably this situation is okay. Of course, I'll, be alert, or I'll be aware, but this person sitting out there with a little cardboard sign, can you give me a dollar? The fact that people have been walking by and they doesn't seem to register any concern from either downtown-based police officer or the Davis ambassadors, that sends a signal. I think the real problem has been, it's kind of like, I have no idea what's going on. Is anybody kind of keeping an eye on things? These people sitting on the bench, if I walk by, will I be safe?
Yeah.
And that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah. We have just a few minutes left. I want to ask, One of the changes that's coming downtown as a district that I think hasn't really shown up yet is there'll be a lot more housing downtown. At least it's proposed, assuming it all gets built. Well, let's see. I've got a list here. 120 apartments plus some lofts at 240 G Street, 227 units at 5th and G, 12 new townhomes at 7th and G. Hundreds of additional people living downtown, maybe thousands in time. How will that change downtown?
I'm not sure. I have a sense that the additional people living downtown will be a benefit to the existing businesses, retail shops and restaurants and, you know, food places. I think that'll help. I think what we need to be very attentive about, and this is one of the things that I'm also really focused on, is parking. So I'm not a believer in kind of this zero-sum game type of thing. I think we want downtown to be easy to bike to walk to drive to, and also take a bus to. And I don't fault anyone for wanting to choose one mode versus another. We all have different reasons for, you know, the mode of transportation that we choose. I would like them to be all easy and convenient. When we have additional people living downtown, the car parking will become an issue. And so that's one of the things I'm working with the city on to make sure that we get in front of that, that we don't sort of wake up one day and we're sort of just going a little slight detour. But, you know, we've all had that experience where you go to San Francisco and you're just driving around and around and around and there literally are no parking spaces, even if you wanted to pay. And you're just like so frustrating. And then you eventually drive away.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want for our downtown. We want it to be easy and accessible for all users.
Yeah, and of course, you know, downtown has already lost more parking spaces lately because of the new daylighting law, they call it. But I mean, you can see that all over downtown. There's some blocks that 10 years ago, probably you could have parked 10 cars along the block, that block face.
Yeah.
Now maybe you can do five. And I think the one at 5th and G, last I checked, there's no parking that comes with that. No car parking, as they say.
Correct.
So that's your point about more coming in. The Davis train station is due for some changes too.
Yes.
Because the Capitol Corridor, they want to actually put an underpass under the tracks over to Olive, and there'd be people would board then from the central platform. You wouldn't board anymore by crossing the tracks. You'd go under the tracks. That connects downtown to Olive.
And yes, it
all
does,
the folks
yeah.
over there. So similar thing there, I imagine. It's a whole new group of people that...
Yeah, and so it'd be easy and convenient to walk or ride your bike there. Related to Amtrak, you know, we were talking about parking just a second ago, that will probably mean a loss of about 20 spots at the Amtrak lot. So when you take those 20 spots and then you add in, call it 55 spots for the daylighting, the state law that, you know, requires that there be space between the parking and the curb, the crosswalk area. You know, just out of those two things, there's some losses. And then when you add in increased residential downtown. So, yeah, it's kind of a very big issue. I don't know what the solutions are, but I'm working with the city to try to come up with solutions. But going back to the specifics of the Amtrak thing, I think that'll be really nice. I think that'll be nice to connect the Olive Drive folks, you know, to the downtown a little easier. Although prior to the big fence being up, they could just walk across the tracks.
And, yeah, that's going back 30 years now. Yeah, the railroad never did really like that.
No, but anyway, but also for the Amtrak users, just having a central platform will be a nice change.
Yeah, and of course, we're at the end of the show now, but long-term, the Capitol Corridor wants to, I mean, their vision plan, 40-year plan, includes trains on half-hour headways each direction, very fast.
So. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Well, Brett, thank you for talking with us today.
Oh, sure.
We've been talking with Brett Lee. He is the executive director of the Davis Downtown Business Association. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT, 95.7 FM, kdrt.org/Davisville online. Thank you for listening.